Good morning. And Merry Christmas. Today is a great day in the life of the church. It's not just another Sunday in which we celebrate Jesus, but it's a day that we do worship him and celebrate him in an incredible way. We celebrate his birth and all that he has done for us. But it's also today is a day in which we are celebrating by inviting several people to become new members in our church. After being part of things for a few years and checking out what we are all about in God's kingdoms, they have decided that this is the place and these are the people that will become their church home for as long as the Lord desires. So at this time, I'd like to invite those who are planning on becoming members to come on up. We got several different people I've talked with this morning that who have sat through things and we've talked with, so I'd like to invite them to come up front at this time. And they're all excited about this, because they love getting up in front of people. John's looking the most excited out of the bunch, so that's good. All right. One of the great things that we, the Mount Carroll Church of God, exist to do is to help people know, love, and serve God together. Through preaching and teaching the word and providing opportunities to grow in faith, but also to know, love, and serve in the local church through fellowship, relationships, and constant care, and also through serving in our communities, getting to know them and love them and serve them, to be able to do that in such a way as to make a difference here and to the ends of the earth. And this past week, we had a great opportunity, and there was this really pushy lady who kept coming and saying, we need to do something special at Awana to make sure all these parents and the kids know about Jesus and what Christmas is really all about. And she's been exciting. Sarah has pushed and pulled and drug and just really has a heart for people to know about Jesus. And it's incredible to see. And so that was an incredible week. We had an incredible time, and many of you contributed to make that happen Wednesday night. And I think Larry has video and pictures of everything that took place. So if you need to see that about Wednesday night Awana, it's there. But that's one of the great things we do to spread the love of Jesus in our community is through these kids. And all of these people help out with it in one way, shape, or another. And that's what the church has always been about. The early church in Acts chapter 2, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer, and everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. And all the believers were together and had everything in common, and selling their possessions and good, they gave to anyone as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts and broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And that's what you guys were a part of Wednesday night. You came and you gave gifts, but you weren't here Wednesday night. And we were able to share what you through your generosity, Jesus' love, so that these kids could go forward and share the good news and give gifts and not just receive this Christmas. That's an important part of who we are, is loving those kids and loving this community. But what couldn't happen if it wasn't for the fact that each one of us has a gift to be used and to serve in the local church. Ephesians chapter 4, it says this, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ has apportioned it. It was he who gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets and some to be evangelists and some to be pastors and some to be teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Each one of us have a unique gift to be used to serve one another and our community. Every one of us in this room. And the big challenge is that in 1 Peter 4:10, it says, each one of us should use whatever gift we have received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. The church has never been a one-man show or a pastor's paradise. It's not meant to be that, but the people of God doing the will of God together by doing the work that he has called us to do, that's what we're to be a part of. That's what you guys are joining into today. So today, this challenge for these men and women is this, and the questions are this, and just I'll coach you through them. Will you join with the Mount Carroll Church of God to help people know, love, and serve God, the church, and their communities? If so, say, I will. Will you use your gifts to serve God, the church, and your community as God allows? If so, say, I will. Will you give of your time, your talents, and your treasures to see that God's kingdom is rooted and established here in Mount Carroll, and that this church takes the good news of the gospel to the end of the earth? If so, say, I will. All right, church, they can't do this alone, so would you please stand with them? Will you, the Mount Carroll Church of God, come alongside these men and women, helping them to grow in their faith and use their gifts here in this place? If so, say, we will. Will you pledge yourselves to the work to work together in unity, peace, and love to see the good news of the gospel lived out until the whole world hears and sees God's great love for them? If so, say, I will. Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, may the commitments we make here today to you and to one another not just be mere words. May our hearts and commitments today be true, and may we all step up to the challenges before us. May we never grow weary and grow faint, but may we always draw on the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit within us to accomplish all that you have prepared in advance for us to do. For you have called us to be part of your family. You've called us to join together wherever we worship to spread the good news that Jesus Christ is born, that he has lived, he has died, and he has risen. And he has risen indeed for our salvation, to set us free from the penalty of sin and death forever, so that we all might have the gift of eternal life. And to that work, we all commit ourselves this day. Through the precious and wonderful name of Jesus, all God's people said, amen. All right, kids are heading on down to Children's Church. Ooh, we got a mobster group back there. That makes me nervous when I see all those guys in the back. And then Jared, oh, Children's Church. Jared's got them. Jared's looking good today. He's got a tie. Fantastic. As you guys have seen, I am no longer wearing the cone of shame. The doctor gave me an early Christmas present. Oh, man, that was good on Wednesday. It was one of the best days ever. That and Awana was awesome. It was a great time to be able to be a part of Wednesday night, to give out those gifts and see those kids, and to watch those kids run to one another afterwards and give each other their gifts, because they had a lot of those kids brought their best friends to Awana. And that was so cool to see as they exchanged gifts and went from this place, and they were excited, and they were excited about the fact that they could do something special for someone that they cared about outside of their family. So I want to thank you guys for all of that, to making that possible for those kids and for us as a church to make a huge difference at Christmas time in their lives. So let's pray together real quick, and we're going to jump in the message today. Father God, we thank you so much for the simple fact that over 2,020 years ago, you sent your son into this world, not as anyone expected, but as a little baby born in a manger of all places. And he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is Messiah, Savior of the world. And Jesus, we thank you that we have seen and been touched by your love and your grace and your mercy. And we are so privileged to know you, that you loved us enough, that you died for us, and that death was not in vain, because 3 short days later you were raised, giving us not just forgiveness of sin, but the promise of eternal life. And for that, we are truly humbled that we, because of your birth, have received all the greatest gifts. And it's through the precious, wonderful name, your name, Lord Jesus, we get to pray. And all God's people say, amen. All right, 2,022 years ago, thereabouts, the world was sitting in silence. It had been run through a ringer, and it was waiting for the prophecies of God to be fulfilled. Life was getting tougher and tougher. Once again, the nation of Israel had been conquered, taken into slavery, and they were waiting for the great deliverer, the Messiah, to come to rescue them from the long-term oppression that they had been placed into. And they themselves had found themselves to be little more than slaves. Matter of fact, as long as they didn't cause any trouble, it was okay. But as soon as trouble arose, the hammer would fall. They kept clinging to the words of the prophet Isaiah, who had long ago told them that one day a Savior would come, the Messiah would arrive and would save them from their oppression. And they longed for Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7 to be fulfilled. It says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at harvest, as men when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for fire." And they longed to be set free. And then we read the words, those familiar words in Isaiah chapter 9, starting in verse 6. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, and he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." You know, when they heard those words the very first time, when Isaiah shared that with them, they expected that that child had been born, that he was growing up, and he was going to grow up and be an incredible king that would set them free. But they waited hundreds of years for that moment to take place. They knew that a deliverer, a savior, was exactly what they needed, and they needed him desperately at a time like this when they were under Roman slavery. But what was interesting was this, is that as each year ticked away, the harder it was to believe that God would send such a savior. A zealous, powerful, strong leader, a conquering king who would come and deliver them with his mighty right hand. And imagine their surprise when this King of Kings, this Lord of Lords, this mighty God showed up on the scene. It was finally the time that their dreams would be fulfilled. And here's how this mighty king came. It says this in Luke chapter 2. "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree so that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Everyone went to his own town to register, so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to their firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in an inn. And the shepherds were living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. The angel of the Lord appeared on them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel of the Lord said to them those incredible words, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with all the angels praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. That incredible prophecy that had been on the books for so long had finally been fulfilled. Well, had a really good start in that manger. I want you to imagine for a moment for what it was, what this whole thing was all about. This long-awaited Messiah, this deliverer of Israel, had finally arrived on the scene. The battle trumpet sounds and troops run up and get into formation is what the whole nation Israel was expected. And here he is, this mighty king, all 6 pounds, 12 ounces of him. You know, it's kind of like expecting Patton or MacArthur to ride in on a tank and getting Barney Fife or Gomer Pyle in reality, you know? Expecting more than this. But this was exactly what the world needed. They didn't need a conquering king coming on a tank to drive out the Romans. They needed the Savior of our souls. I kind of think of it along the lines of this, that there are many who looked at that baby in the manger, and you think of the kid with the cape made of a towel, a colander on his head, and a cardboard sword, saying, "This is going to save us?" The shepherds went away excited. Mary was pondering it in her heart. The wise men would eventually come and fall down and worship at his feet, adding fuel to the story that this is the Savior of the world. And even though appearances can be deceiving, don't be deceived by the fact that God was going to save the world through his son born that day. You know, when the truth came out about Jesus being born the King of the Jews, it cost the world greatly. Because the rumor of his birth cost the lives of hundreds of children 2 years and under as the current ruler tried to wipe out the King and Savior of the world. The birth of that little Savior of the world caused quite a stir And it was a stir that was exactly needed by the world. Jesus, the baby born in the manger, may have not been exactly what they asked for, but he was exactly what they needed. If it was obvious, he wasn't ready to take over the world with a sword. And as a matter of fact, that was never his intent. It was not his mission. But they still wondered what this little bitty baby boy was going to do to save the world and how he would accomplish it all. Imagine their distress. Here's the king, born in a manger. How difficult it was for them to imagine that this king would come among the dung and be born in such a filthy place. Kings are supposed to be born in palaces, not where horses do their thing. It was probably as distressing to them as when he came in the triumphal entry, coming in, and they threw their cloaks down on the road and said, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Here he is, our Messiah is finally come to town to deliver us." And just a few days later, this king riding on a donkey was then riding on a cross. Here comes the king, born in a manger. Here comes the king, dying on a cross. So many prophecies were fulfilled in his life. The blind would see, the deaf would hear, the dead would be raised, the king would die for his people. See, ladies and gentlemen, the king of all came to die to set men free. He came not the way we thought he should, but just exactly like we needed. What he came to do was not what we expected, and how he was going to conquer and what he was going to conquer first was not up to us. You see, he needed to conquer the thing that plagues all mankind before he could drive out sin completely from the world. This little baby born in a manger was a handful for the world to get a hold of. But he was exactly what all of us needed. He was a handful of grace at the right time. He was a handful of love at the right time. He was a handful of mercy. And he was an overflowing vat of truth for all. See, this Christmas, the world needs a lot more of the unsuspecting Jesus. Not so much the baby this time born in a manger, but they need a true King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They need to know the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, who longed to give his life for them, to get them ready for when he comes back again. You see, every year we celebrate this scene over here, even with this little dude over here that's the creepy one with holding out the apple. I don't understand him in the picture up here, but we celebrate this whole scene where the angels are there and Mary's oohing and aahing over Jesus and everybody's there and you got the sheep and the cattle and the donkey and we celebrate the baby. But we wait till Easter to celebrate the crucified king. And you know what? Here's the amazing thing. Jesus, what he was, exactly what we needed it to be. What we needed him to be at his birth, at his death, and at his resurrection. At first, he came as a cute, cuddly baby boy born in a manger. Gentle, meek, and mild. Came to give us all what we needed, a second chance. Undeserved and unexpected. But when Jesus comes again and he returns for us, it will not be with any of those agendas. But once again, he will be exactly what we need. At the right moment, at the right time, because he will come to claim his throne and to claim his own. And I know every year at Christmas time we talk about the great gift. and we try to get people ready, and we try to get them to accept the baby. We need to get them to accept the risen Savior, the soon and coming conquering King. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when he comes to claim his throne and claim his own, when he comes again, I want you to understand, we had a great glimpse of his first coming. Isaiah prepped us for it. He told us how he would do it, and it happened exactly that way, okay? But we also have been given in Revelation a glimpse of how he's coming back. Don't miss the gift of the baby and the gift of Easter and neglect it, because there's a great gift that's coming. It's so awesome. It's what those two things prepared us for. But don't be deceived. He's not coming back cute and cuddly. Revelation 19 says this: I saw heaven standing open. Here, close your eyes. Do me a favor. Some of you have already got your eyes closed. You're asleep. Poke the person next to you and tell them, imagine this. Close your eyes and picture this. All right? If you need to turn on your smell-o-vision, go ahead. All right? Revelation 19. I saw heaven standing wide open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and he makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name's the Word of God. And the armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty, and on his robe, on his thigh, he has this name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The baby in the manger has grown up, folks. He grew up for a purpose, and that was to live and to die and be raised again. And he's got a final purpose, which is when he returns and he ushers in his Father's kingdom and he claims his throne and he claims his own and separates the sheep and the goats. Ladies and gentlemen, the baby boy has all grown up. And I think it's incredible that here's the deal. He comes on a horse, and the picture of him is quite terrifying. His robe is drenched in blood, and behind him is his great army dressed in fine white linens, pure and clean. They don't even have to pick up a sword, because guess what? Just like he spoke into existence all of creation at that moment by his word, he will end it all. And we, who are his, go home forever. We will see him face to face. We will sit at his feet. And he will come for us at the right time, just as we need. That's a far cry from the baby in swaddling clothing, isn't it? That baby, not a sound he makes. Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior that the world needed. He is the unsuspecting baby born in the manger, gentle, meek, and mild. But he is also King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the conquering King who's not afraid to get down and dirty in the battle for every human soul. He will redeem and restore and redress all the wrongs of the world, either through the shedding of his own blood or through the shedding of the original offenders. Either way, when he comes next time, he will come just as those who have trusted him need him to, and he will come to them when they need him most. See, ladies and gentlemen, This story was foretold, and it came true. His death on the cross was foretold, and it happened just as it was said. And here we see that he's coming again. And that's something to be celebrated at Christmas as well. Because guess what? We will celebrate forevermore in his presence. So I've got two questions for us this Christmas. They are the most important questions of a lifetime. Have you received Jesus as your Savior and Lord? Have you accepted the baby born to go to that cross so you could be free? You see, ladies and gentlemen, that's the most important gift that you've ever been given. The most important opportunity you could ever have is the opportunity to receive him as the Savior of your soul. And I want to encourage you to do so. If you haven't done so, you really, really, really need to take that into consideration as soon as you can. Because we don't know when our last tick is going to go of our hearts. We don't know when Jesus is going to come back. I hope it's during Melvin and Carol's lifetime. Because what a great, incredible day it will be. But ladies and gentlemen, here's the thing. If you haven't, then you're not ready when he comes again. So are you ready if he were to unexpectedly return today? You see, those are the two important questions for your life right now. Have you received him? And are you ready? Because that's all that matters this Christmas to Jesus. That's the greatest gift you could give to him. It's his birthday, and he wants to celebrate it with you forever. And that's the only way it happens. Receiving him as Savior and Lord and soon and coming King. So let's pray. Father God, you have not hidden a thing from us. You have not tried to pull the wool over our eyes or surprise any of us. You are the worst at keeping secrets. There's only one secret you're keeping really close to your chest, and that's when the day will be that you send your son back as conquering king. Until then, you're saying, son, it's not time. Let's give him one more chance. You told us that you loved us. You told us you would send your son to die for us. You told us that we would be forgiven if we had put our faith and trust in him. So, Father God, today we do so. You told us that because of his death and his resurrection, we would be forgiven our sins, purified from unrighteousness, and have the gift of eternal life. And Lord, today, thank you for the great gift that you've given to us. And Lord Jesus, may we be prepared for the moment that you return to claim your throne and claim your own. And until that moment comes, may we wear ourselves out, making sure that no one perishes apart from you. Jesus, we thank you. And we recognize you in our lives as the baby, the dying and risen Savior, and the soon and coming King.